Good afternoon. This is Pastor David, Berean Baptist Church. News and Focus commentary with you today. It is Wednesday, August the 13th, about 3:15. Not the most fun podcast I've ever really prepared for. Not one. I don't even know if I'm looking forward to it, but it's been on my mind the last couple days, and my goal is to be very honest and very transparent, and just share a little bit of my heart with you and maybe share some of the scripture with you as well. Most of you know about Robin Williams' suicide the other day, and there have been unbelievable amounts of social media traffic. Pastor Bill did a podcast on Matt Walsh's blog on it yesterday. And Matt Walsh has been inundated with negative feedback from that and some pretty angry messages that he has responded to today. And then I came across this article that a former student of mine had posted, a former student of mine who coincidentally has dealt with depression. And she put it up there as she doesn't like this article, and I don't really like it either. And I just want you to hear what the alternative is, what the psycho world, the psychotherapy world, the psychoanalytic world is saying about this thing called suicide. And I think you can see where we've gotten to with the portrayal of Robin Williams' suicide. And the title of the article is "There's Nothing Selfish About Suicide." Katie Hurley, child and adolescent psychotherapist and parenting expert. Okay, so this is the secular world, but there's nothing selfish about suicide. She says, "I'm a survivor of suicide. I don't talk about it a lot these days as I've reached the point where it feels like a lifetime ago. Healing was a long and grief-stricken process. There were times when I felt very alone in my grief, and there were times when I felt lost and confused. The trouble with suicide is that no one knows what to say. No one knows how to react. So they smile and wave and attempt distraction, but they never ever say the word. The survivors, it seems, are often left to survive on their own. I experienced endless waves of emotion in the days, weeks, months, and even years following the loss of my father. The what-ifs kept me up at night, causing me to float through each day in a state of perpetual exhaustion. What if I had answered the phone that night? Would the sound of my voice have changed his mind? Would he have done it at a later date anyway? Survivor's guilt, indeed. Sometimes I cried. Sometimes I sat perfectly still, watching the waves crash down on Main Beach, hoping for a sign of some kind that he had reached a better place. Sometimes I silently scolded myself for not seeing the warning signs. Sometimes I bargained with God or anyone else who might be in charge up there. Bring him back to us. Please, just bring him back. Sometimes I felt angry. Why us? Why me? Why him? Yes, I experienced a range of emotions before making peace with the loss, but one thought that never ever, not even for one second, crossed my mind was this ill-informed opinion that suicide is selfish. Suicide is a lot of things, but selfish isn't one of them." I have to fundamentally disagree with Katie Hurley on this. I don't know how you make the argument that suicide is not selfish. To think about the effects that it has on family, that it has on children, that it has on people all around. You know, think about Robin Williams as a celebrity. The effect that this has had on people in general. It is absolutely a selfish act. And as Pastor Bill talked about yesterday with Matt Walsh's blog, it is a choice. To say that suicide is not a choice really takes us in a strange direction. And I'm not discounting mental illness. I'm not discounting chemical imbalances. I'm not discounting those sorts of things. But at the same time, we have to understand, and I know this is really difficult. I know this is not something that's fun to talk about, but we have to understand the gravity of the situation, and we have to approach it with love and sensitivity. And at the same time, we really have to make sure that people understand how horrible and selfish an occurrence that this is. Ironically, Robin Williams said just a little while ago, he said, "Well, you just try and keep it in perspective. You have to remember the best and the worst. In America, they really do mythologize people when they die." Robin Williams said that. In America, they really do mythologize people when they die. And what has happened over the last few days is that every other post on Facebook and Twitter is rest in peace, Robin Williams. Rest in peace, Robin Williams. You're free now, Robin Williams. Thank you, Robin Williams. And from a biblical perspective, I don't know that we can say that. And I don't enjoy bringing that fact up, but I'm not sure that we can say that. I'm not sure that Robin Williams is resting in peace, and I'm not sure that he's free right now. His lifestyle did not reflect a faith in Jesus Christ, and so I can't guarantee that. And I know that's hard, and I know that sounds mean, but that's the facts. That's the biblical truth. And so I come at you from an interesting perspective. Okay, and again, this is why I wanted to be a little bit transparent. You know, I grew up in a pretty dysfunctional environment, and I would be lying if I said I never had thoughts like this. You know, I never attempted anything, or I never tried to follow through with anything. But the easy escape is suicide. It is the selfish choice. Get myself out of here and leave everything else behind. I'm talking to you as a pastor and a teacher who got word last year that a former student of mine, a born-again student of mine, mind you, an intelligent student of mine, a well-liked student of mine, was dealing with depression and took his own life. And I did a couple sermons with the youth last year on that. If you would like to look those up on Sermon Audio, they're called the Unpardonable Sin, a biblical teaching or a biblical survey on suicide. And so I'm familiar with what Robin Williams is going through, firsthand, secondhand, thirdhand. And I understand that it was difficult, and I understand that he was going through some miserable things. But do you see what happens when we say, you know what, suicide's not selfish? Number one, it makes us the sovereign. It puts our lives in our hands. That we can pick and choose when we live or die. It removes a sovereign God from the equation. And it also sets up a situation where there is no hope. That sometimes taking your own life is better because there's no hope. Well, in a secular world without the gospel, there is no hope. So we shouldn't be surprised when we see people attempting to kill themselves. Robin Williams is in two of my favorite movies. And I think it's ironic some of the things that he said. The first is Good Will Hunting. And, you know, I don't recommend movies, and Good Will Hunting has a good deal of language in it, if that kind of thing bothers you. But for a dysfunctional kid, Good Will Hunting speaks really loudly. And Robin Williams plays a character named Sean McGuire, who's counseling Will Hunting, the dysfunctional guy that I'm talking about. And there are just some scenes in that movie that just resonate very strongly with me. And it's why it's one of my favorite movies. It's probably a top five movie for me just because of that, especially the final scene that he has with Sean. And Sean says an interesting thing to Will at one point. And he says, "You'll have bad times, but it'll always wake you up to the good stuff you weren't paying attention to." You know, it's almost, and I know they didn't mean it this way, but it's almost a biblical idea that God sometimes brings tribulation into your life to strengthen you. And to bring you closer to Him and to help you see the blessings that He's given to you. We don't quite grow nearly as much as when we're in the tribulation and when God is giving us some difficult things to deal with. Miss Hurley continues with, "Suicide is a decision made out of desperation, hopelessness, isolation, and loneliness. The black hole that is clinical depression is all-consuming. Feeling like a burden to loved ones, feeling like there's no way out, feeling trapped and feeling isolated are all common among people who suffer from depression. People who say that suicide is selfish always reference the survivors. It's selfish to leave children, spouses, and other family members behind, so they say. They're not thinking about the survivors, or so they would have us believe. What they don't know is that those very loved ones are the reason many people hang on for just one more day. They do think about the survivors, probably up until the very last moment in many cases, but the soul-crushing depression that envelops them leaves them feeling like there is no alternative, like the only way to get out is to opt out, and that is a devastating thought to endure. Now, here's the problem with that. It is selfish because of the survivors, because the fact is, no matter how atheistic and secularist you want to be, one person's actions does not simply affect that one person. We are tied to others via family and blood and friendship and acquaintances and professional relationships. And the fact of the matter is, no matter where you stand on that issue, it is absolutely selfish because the catastrophe that spreads out, and just imagine with children, what kind of effects this can have, and what this can have for spouses. And I'm not discounting the fact that born again people can have depression, that Satan can't attack you and give you doubt and fear and self-loathing, because he absolutely can. But the power of the gospel has to be central to this discussion. So our secular psychoanalyst here that wants to talk about hopelessness and darkness, well, there's a cure for that. And his name is Jesus. And it's his gospel that can set you free. And the atheist is going to say, you're so simple, you're so naive, you're so simplistic in your understanding of what this is all about. Well, I think the answer is pretty simple. You know, I think the answer is the grace that only God can give, the grace that only Jesus Christ can offer, is the only thing that can overcome this stuff. You can have the greatest therapist in the world. You can go to all the 12-step programs. You can take medication. But without the Holy Spirit, you are susceptible to darkness unimaginable. And that's why people get to this state. And do I think there are better ways we can handle it? Yeah. And I think there are more ways to reach out. And her one point in this article that I agree with is that we can help. We can reach out. We can talk to people. We can be aware of the people that are around us, because there are warning signs. She says, until you stare down that level of depression, until you lose your soul to a sea of emptiness and darkness, you don't get to make those judgments. You might not understand it, and you are certainly entitled to your own feelings, but making those judgments and spreading that kind of negativity won't help the next person. In fact, it will only hurt others. See, here's the problem. When we're talking about suicide, sometimes we have to talk in negatives, because this is the supreme negative act that someone can do. And so we can talk about it as a selfish act, a selfish choice. The fact is that is exactly what it is. See, the Facebook posts of, we love Robin Williams, Robin Williams is awesome, he was a genius, and I'm not discounting any of that stuff, you know, as far as his talent as an actor and his talent as a comedian and all that kind of stuff. But the fact is, the statistics tell us that when a celebrity commits suicide, the suicide rate nationwide goes up. And what does it do that we glorify a man who takes his own life and leaves his family behind and put him on a pedestal, on a social media pedestal, on a mainstream media pedestal? What do you think that's going to do for the perception of suicide? I hope it makes us more aware of the situation, but it surely doesn't give people an accurate picture of the negative and chaotic results that can come from this act. And that's what I am tremendously worried about in this entire thing. In Dead Poets Society, Robin Williams plays a professor or a teacher named John Keating. For a kid not many of my friends were in love with literature like I was. And so to see a male teacher up there talking about Walt Whitman and Shakespeare, it's why "O Captain, My Captain" is one of my favorite poems to this day. It was Robin Williams as John Keating in Dead Poets Society, standing on his desk, that made me love that poem. It was the first poem I ever did a report on in high school, because when we had to pick a poem, that's exactly where I went. And in that movie, and this is so ironic, but in the movie, John Keating says this. He says, "We don't read and write poetry because it's cute. We read and write poetry because we are members of the human race, and the human race is filled with passion. And medicine, law, business, engineering, these are noble pursuits and necessary to sustain life. But poetry, beauty, romance, love, these are what we stay alive for. To quote from Whitman, O me, O life, of the questions of these recurring, of the endless trains of the faithless, of cities filled with the foolish, what good amid these, O me, O life? Answer that you are here, that life exists, an identity, that the powerful play goes on, and you may contribute a verse. That the powerful play goes on, and you may contribute a verse. What will your verse be?" Well, you know what Robin Williams' verse is now? Is no matter how much we want to focus on his acting ability and his comedic talents, and those are undeniable, his verse is that he chose to end his life. Just like so many other famous celebrities, he chose to end his life. Life exists. Why does life exist? Because God gave it to us. God gave you life, and it is not yours to take. He gave us identity. Well, we're identity in the human race, but if you belong to Christ, you have a new identity. You have been created anew, and you are responsible to reflect that. Again, Christians are not immune to this suicide, but if we can really, really help people understand the power of the gospel, I think we'd see less and less suicide, especially in the Christian world. And he says the play that we're in, as Shakespeare might say, we're all players, and we all have a time on that stage. And the question that he asked in the movie was, "What will your verse be?" You're in the great poem of life, and hey, you know what? Make fun of the literature nerd. But I think it's a great picture. And the fact that our God wrote in quite poetic language many, many times in Scripture. You can make fun of me about poetry if you want, but I think there is a beautiful song, there is a beautiful poem here in God's Word that talks about the beauty of God's creation. And the fact that we are made in His image. And so when we choose to mar that image through suicide, we are sinning. Unforgivable sin? No, I don't believe that. But we need to make sure people understand the gravity of that, of taking a life. It's why abortion runs rampant in this country, because we don't understand the gravity of taking a life. And it's why we're going to see an uptick in suicides after Robin Williams, because people are going to make the argument that you know what, it was really hard, and he tried hard, but he took the way that he thought was good. And the way that he thought was good may very well lead him to darkness. And he may be in darkness right now. So again, I just wanted to be, I don't know. I just know that God's been laying it on my heart these last few days, that it was something I wanted to talk about. And hey, maybe it's just therapeutic for me, but maybe it's good for you too. Maybe it's something worth listening to. Maybe it's something worth thinking about. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And if you are in Him, then that very power of overcoming the world is within you. So don't take the selfish way out. You know what? And people are going to be angry, and people aren't going to like our language when it comes to choice. For once we are arguing for choice over here. That suicide is a choice, and a selfish one at that, and a destructive one at that, and one that leaves nothing but chaos in its wake. To think that somebody could come home and discover a loved one that has taken their own life and not view that as a selfish act, it boggles my mind. So as Pastor Bill talked about yesterday, Robin Williams' suicide was a choice. And it's a choice far too many people make. The stats in the article here that 30,000 people committed suicide last year. 750,000 people attempt suicide. So we're talking about almost a million people attempting suicide. She says it's time to raise awareness, increase empathy and kindness, and bring those numbers down. Well, I think putting a positive spin on suicide is not going to bring those numbers down. Only the power of the gospel can bring those numbers down. So keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, know your friends and family. And this podcast is far too long already, but understand what's going on around you. And let's make sure we're teaching accurately about suicide. We can't mythologize Robin Williams and glorify suicide and still try to spin on the other side and talk about how detrimental it is and how bad a choice it is. It's why we get to the point where, hey, if it's good for you, it's good for you, and suicide might be a good choice for you. And that relativism is just absolutely destructive and false. We're made in the image of God. We bear His identity. We have a part to play. He is the sovereign of this universe. He is the sovereign of our lives. He even knows our lives personally. And we need to make sure that we understand that we belong to Him if we are born again. And we should be working our tails off to get more and more people in that fold. I know God does the saving, but we tend to get a little lazy when we think about it that way. Preach the gospel. Let people know that there is hope, that it's not hopeless, that this emptiness is not all there is, that suicide is not the answer, and that He has overcome the world, and His gospel can set you free. If you have any comments, you can post them directly to this podcast. I appreciate you listening. Have a great day.